Well, I'm certainly thankful again for the opportunity to be able to preach the word tonight. And God has been working in my heart through this study on unity, just knowing how much there is with unity in the body of Christ, knowing what that looks like, knowing what God expects of us to be able to be a unified church. And it's a lot that God really puts on us to make sure that we're doing all we can to be able to make sure that we are unified as a church. It's that mindset that we just came from in Philippians chapter 1 of striving to do all that we can to be able to maintain unity within the church. And it's a lot for us to consider personally, what we have to do personally, but also what we can do to be able to minister to one another. So I think the beauty of God's word is looking at God's word and hearing maybe even familiar verses or sermons that we've heard, and still hearing that once again and allowing that to be able to come into our hearts again, be able to renew us and be able to change us. That's the beauty of God's word, that even though we've read a passage before or we've heard a sermon before on a topic or a set of verses, we can still come with a fresh look at God's word, and we can come with an open heart knowing that God's word is going to change us. It's going to make us different than when we were before. So let's pause for a moment of prayer, and then we'll look at our passage this morning or this evening. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this time to be able to open up your word, and I thank you for just your transforming work of your word. I thank you that your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts into our heart. It really discerns the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And God, I pray that your word would do a powerful work in my heart, and that it would do a powerful work in all of our hearts as well. Help us and show us what we might need to do tonight that would help us to be more unified with one another, be more unified as a church. And God, I pray that as we saw through Philippians, that we would strive to do all that we can to be able to bring unity and to build unity up in your church. And God, I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. And I pray that you would guide my words and guide my thoughts and help us to be centered on Jesus Christ. May you be honored and glorified through the preaching of your word, and fill me with your power to be able to do so. In your name I pray, amen. I think there's fewer things more frustrating than when you're working on a project or when you're working on a task and you're missing something to be able to do that task. I know I worked 1 year at maintenance at Maranatha, and so many times we'd go over to do a job site, and I'd forget a certain tool. I'd forget that one tool that I needed to be able to complete that project. That was frustrating for me when I was there and I was able to do the project, but didn't have the right tool to be able to complete that project. I know one time in cooking or in baking, you know, if you miss one ingredient, that's a huge difference if you miss that one or you change that ingredient around. I know over the Thanksgiving time a couple years ago, Debbie and I decided to take on the task of making tea and also making pumpkin pie at the same time. So we made the tea and we put in all the right ingredients there, not a problem. And so we got to the pumpkin pie. Meanwhile, we pushed the sugar off to the side and we got everything ready for the pumpkin pie. We put everything all right in and there was no sugar in the pumpkin pie. And it was one of the hardest things to be able to eat was that pumpkin pie. So we put on all the whipped cream we could, and we tried to taste it and make it better. But fortunately, we had another, her sister made a pie later that week, and it actually had sugar in it. So that's the joke that we have of from that pie. But man, just one ingredient missing in that pumpkin pie just changed the whole taste of it. And I think what we're trying to look at here through Colossians is if we have one thing that's missing as we're trying to build unity within the body of Christ, if there's just even one thing where we're not there or we're not applying ourselves the best way that we can, it changes how our goals are set in just finding unity within the church. You know, the Word of God says that we have all that we need for life and godliness. The Word of God contains all that we need to have unity, to be able to build it, to maintain it within the church. So what stops us from growing as believers? What stops us from moments where we don't want to pursue others? We don't want to be unified together as a church? Why is it that there's moments that that pull us away from that? You can go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. So we'll be looking at this evening. Colossians chapter 3. I really want us to get more of the context in before we go through our verses. We'll be looking at starting at verse 10 and going to verse 17. If you're anything like me, whenever you hear what verses we are for a sermon, you usually try to read through it and try to understand all the verses there. But we'll try to back up a little bit before we head into Colossians 3, verse 10. But we look at the first part of Colossians chapter 3 and the lessons that God is trying to teach us. The first lessons that he tries to teach through Colossians 3 is to seek those things which are above. So if we're wanting to be unified as a church, if we're wanting to build and to be able to maintain that unity, we need to be seeking things that are above. Because we've been risen with Christ, because we are raised with Christ, that means that we need to seek those things which are above. The next few verses go and talk about our identity with Christ. They talk about how we're supposed to put other sins to death. And this is a result of our new nature, our salvation, how we're supposed to just completely remove those lists of sins from our life. So what is the result of all of this? The result of seeking those things which are above, the result of putting off and putting to death these sins. It's that we're becoming like Jesus Christ. The Spirit is doing a work in our hearts, inside of us. He's changing our focus. He's changing our focus from ourself and from our sin, and he's putting that focus on Jesus Christ and on the Word of God. God wants to renew our mind on truth and ready ourselves to put on the characteristics of a true follower of Christ. When we look at ourselves in this passage, we learn that if we aren't seeking things above and we aren't putting to death the sin that we have, then we won't be able to apply the rest of Colossians 3 to our daily lives. But thankfully, we know God's Word can do a work in our hearts. It can strengthen us. It can change us to make sure that we're ready to be able to apply God's Word for unity within the church. So Colossians chapter 3, looking down at verse 10, says, "And have put on the new man, which is created in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Tonight I want us to see that when we keep our focus on Christ, we remind ourselves of our identity in Christ, we will live with spiritual purpose. We will live each day for God's glory. The first main point that I want us to consider tonight is put on Christ and be renewed by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Put on Christ and be renewed by the knowledge of Christ. Those who are in Christ, they have an identity found in living and serving for Jesus Christ. We no longer have to live for our sins. We no longer have to live for the wickedness of this world, but rather we're able to give ourselves in sacrifice to Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. The verbs put on and put off in Colossians 3, 9, and 10 refer to our new nature in Christ. We have put off the old nature. We have put on the new nature through Jesus Christ. The verb renewed can be translated as constantly being renewed. It's a lifelong process of changing our hearts, slowly to becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians puts it this way, that though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day. So every moment we look to God's strength and we see the need to be renewed spiritually. We see the need for God's word to be able to do that work in our hearts once again. Do you ever feel like giving up in your spiritual life? You know, I've felt this before where I looked to my own strength to serve and be able to love. But our desire needs to be on Christ. And the only way we will do that is understanding that it's worth it to live for Jesus Christ. And knowing that when it's hard to minister and serve, we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and the great eternal rewards we will have. And it's in moments of weakness where we can turn to the strength of Jesus Christ as we minister. God has been showing me more and more that if we want true and genuine change, God's going to give that change through the Word. He's going to allow His Word to be preached, His Word to be taught, and that genuine change in Christ will take place through the preaching of the Word. If we are reading God's Word, we're taking time to be able to apply the lessons from the Word of God, we will see the transforming work of the Word come into our lives. It will convict us. It will change us to become more like Jesus Christ. God can teach us in a variety of ways, but ultimately he will do this in order to change us into the image of Christ. He is the potter and we are the clay, and we need to trust as he is molding us, he's shaping us, that he's using different things through his word. He's using other believers to shape us into the image more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to do. That's how he's trying to mold us. And we need to trust in him as he is molding and shaping our lives. God will continue to work in our lives if we are truly saved, that the work of changing us into the image of Christ won't be completed till we are in Christ, with Christ in glory. We serve a faithful God, and we know that as we draw near to him, we have that promise that he will draw near to us. So as we seek him and as we're pursuing him, we know that God will help us and that he will draw near to us. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, looking down at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." A true sign of a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who continually follows God's word. There were many in Christ's day who they heard the words, and they knew the message of Jesus Christ. They had heard him preach. They heard him while he was there. They saw him healing others. They heard his message, but they didn't continue in his words. They didn't continue in what he was teaching and what he was preaching. They had no concern for actually taking their life and applying the lessons that Christ was giving to them. Are you continuing in the words of Scripture? I trust that this will always be the source of your direction in life. It will be God's word coming into your hearts, guiding you and directing you as your source of life. Here we find a freedom here. If you continue knowing that the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not a freedom to live how we want to live, but it's a freedom to be able to follow God. The words of truth and authority that we have in Scripture will help us to be everything that we need to be in service to God. Looking back now at Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 shows us that Christ is all and in all. As a church, we shouldn't allow cultural or social barriers to stop us from preaching the gospel message to others and showing the love of Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ breaks down those barriers to allow us to faithfully preach, be able to faithfully minister to all, and spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The work of evangelism and reaching the lost in our community will come when we see no matter in the background or social status of a person. We see people the way that Jesus Christ did, as Jesus Christ looked out on others and he saw them as sheep that didn't have a shepherd. We see the compassion, we'll see the love of Jesus Christ as we go, and we see that Christ is all and in all, and there are many who are in need of this gospel message. One of the evidences of spiritual growth and the renewing of the mind is his willingness to receive and love all who sincerely know and seek to glorify him. Christ is the foundation of the church, and we should praise him and thank him that our church rests on his sure foundation. Fellowship in our church should be rooted and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul is now reminding us of what God's grace has done for us. We are commanded and urged to put on these attributes of God. And we need to, again, make sure our focus is on Jesus Christ, his life and ministry, to better understand how do we reflect this character? How do we make sure that we're putting on each of these attributes to be able to make sure that we are building up one another in the faith, that we are seeking the unity in the church? Because of the work of salvation, we are holy. We are set apart to do the ministry that God has called us to be able to do. Our life is not ours to be able to live in the way that we want it to, but rather because Christ has bought us, because he has purchased us with his blood, that means that we are then to serve God with everything that we have. Because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that should compel us and motivate us to be able to serve him with all that we have. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So God has displayed his grace on Calvary when Christ died for our sins on the cross, but we also get to live daily with the reminder of God's grace. We are set apart by God, and we are loved by God, and it's the grace of God that should encourage us to seek to minister to seek to build one another up in the faith. Where we feel weak in ministry and service, God says he'll provide the strength. God says he'll provide the grace to be able to continue to minister. He'll be able to encourage our hearts. He'll be able to make sure we're set on the way that we need to be to make sure he is at the center of all the ministry that we are doing. Paul now lists several characteristics in Colossians 3 that we are to put on. The first one there is to put on tender mercies. This is compassion, or literally a heart of compassion. The more that I've been studying through, as I've been teaching in 7th and 8th grade Bible class, been studying about the compassion of Christ, been studying about the love that Christ had for people, it's amazing to be able to see how much he cared for those to be able to make sure that they were trusting in his message. And when there were those who rejected his message, when there were those who were too arrogant or who just didn't see their need to be able to take that message, he was grieved, he was sad, he was disappointed when there were those who wouldn't trust in Jesus Christ and who wouldn't place their complete faith and trust to be able to receive that message. We need to pray that God would give us this heart of compassion, to be able to minister to others, to be able to show a genuine love and concern and care for other believers. This isn't just easy as flipping on a switch, that we turn on a switch and all of a sudden that we have this compassion, we have this genuine concern for others. But as we continue to minister, as we continue to understand what the compassion and love of Christ is, that will motivate us to ensure that we'll be able to catch that vision of what it means to show a true compassion and show a true care for souls. We are to put on kindness. We are to show kindness to other believers. We have received the greatest act of kindness when Christ saved us. And God once again gives us a command to follow by showing kindness one to another. There are different personalities within the church, but we need to be challenged to be able to continue to show that kindness to others, and that we need to show kindness to everyone. Everyone around us, we need to be willing to show that kindness, because again, Christ demonstrated that to us, and he tells us here to be able to put on that kindness with all of us who are here tonight. Number three, the third thing that you see that Paul tells us to put on is to put on the humility of mind. Humility is not having the proper view of having the proper view of ourselves and who we are before God. Christ is our perfect example of humility. We looked in Philippians chapter 2 about how Christ, he humbled himself. How did he do that? He humbled himself by coming down to earth and by living the life of a perfect man. He was perfect, he was sinless, and he came and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So we are told to not think too highly of ourselves than we ought to. We must seek the needs of others as more important than our own. And I think as I went and studied through that, that's difficult to be able to do, to consider others' needs before we're even thinking about ourselves, before we're thinking about our needs, to reach out to others and to be able to minister to others before we even think a moment about ourselves and about our needs. Humility must be our foundation if we want to maintain a spirit of unity within the church. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. When we think of displaying humility, it will lead us to a humble obedience of God's way when we fully submit to his way and submit to his plan. The next thing we're called to put on is to put on meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance. These three kind of go together. They kind of work in harmony with one another. No one here is perfect, and we see others who make mistakes around us. But we need to respond in a spirit that is patient with them, in a spirit that is gentle, and point them back to Christ. You know, it's easy for us to be critical of one another. It's easy for us to be able to find fault in others and be able to point the fingers at others. But we need to replace that spirit with encouraging one another, building each other up in the faith, and even praying for one another, praying for the needs of others. Again, thinking more about the needs and ministering more to others than we're thinking about ourselves. Even though we have differences among us in personalities and maybe even slight differences in belief, that doesn't change the command to be able to strive for unity. That doesn't change these commands to be able to do all we can to be able to invest in others and be able to pursue unity within the church. We need to do all that we can to promote unity in the church. Are you promoting unity in the right spirit? It can't be done out of a selfish response. It can't be done out of a selfish desires. As a matter of fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that we can do the greatest acts of ministry, of service here on earth. But if we don't have a spirit of love, if we don't have that spirit of doing it for the right motivation, doing it for in a way that pleases God and wants to glorify him, it doesn't mean anything. It's empty. It's worthless. So we really need to make sure that as we're doing this ministry, as we're showing compassion, as we're caring for one another and praying for one another, that's done in the right spirit. Because if that's not done in the right spirit, a spirit out of true and genuine love, then it won't amount to anything. It won't mean anything. And we need to have the right focus and motivation through that as we consider that. Here we have another command through Colossians chapter 3. We are to forgive one another. And I think this is one that I really want to spend a good deal of time on, to be able to consider the forgiveness that we've been shown through Jesus Christ and how we need to show that forgiveness to one another. And really, if this isn't true of ourselves, if we're not putting into practice forgiveness on a daily basis within those who are possibly in the church, if there needs to be forgiveness shown there, or if there's forgiveness that you know in your life and your heart that needs to be addressed and needs to be confessed, that this is where unity could really come into a brick wall. It could come into something where it really comes as a barrier in our church and in our foundation of trying to build unity. It won't be built if we are not able to forgive one another. It won't be built if we don't see the need to show the forgiveness of Jesus Christ because of the great forgiveness that we've been shown. I want to read this prayer on forgiveness. To forgive like thee, blessed Son of God, I take this as the law of my life. Thou who hast given the command, givest also the power. Thou who hast love enough to forgive me, wilt also fill me with love and teach me to forgive others. Thou who didst give me the first blessings in the joy of having my sins forgiven, wilt surely give me the second blessing and deeper joy of forgiving others as thou hast forgiven me. Oh, fill me with the faith and the power of thy love in me to make me like thyself, to enable me to forgive the 70 times 7, and so to love and bless all around me. So we are following Christ's example that he has clearly demonstrated to us of forgiving one another when we need to seek that forgiveness in order to build on the theme of unity. So we need to put on these attributes of God, but without forgiveness shown in our church, again, these attributes, they don't really mean a whole lot. They don't really mean a whole lot if we're not actively pursuing forgiveness with one another and pursuing forgiveness before God. If we don't have that settled, if we don't have that taken care of, again, then moving forward in unity becomes very difficult, becomes something where we can't accomplish. And when we look to the power of Christ to be able to seek forgiveness, and we seek that restoration, we seek that forgiveness, then we can pursue unity, then we can pursue following Jesus Christ and encouraging one another. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Very familiar verse, but I trust it will be a verse that will help us understand more about what forgiveness is and what that looks like. Ephesians 4, verse 32, and says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." You know, a lot of times I think when I think of forgiveness and when I think that there's forgiveness with one another, I think we make some pretty poor excuses for why we don't forgive one another. You know, we make some excuses of, well, this person did this to me, or, you know, you don't really know the full story behind forgiveness. What I do know the story of forgiveness, and I may not know your story of forgiveness, of how God's worked in your life to be able to forgive you of one another before, or maybe something you need to deal with now. But what I do know the story of forgiveness is, again, our condition. How God willingly sent Jesus Christ on the cross, and he showed us the purest form of forgiveness. About how Christ, when he went to the cross to be able to die for our sins, he knew that we would sin. He knew that we would sin. And for all of our sins, for past, for present, for future, Christ went and he said, "I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins." And that's where we find the motivation. That's where we find the power to be able to show forgiveness. It's not anything in and of ourselves, but it's because we've seen that love. We've seen that grace. We've seen that amazing and pure picture of forgiveness. That when we didn't have anything to offer to God, we had nothing to be able to give to God. Again, we've heard this displayed here. God showed us love first. He chose to love us here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to die for our sin. So we've seen that love. We've seen that forgiveness. And that's what motivates us to be able to forgive one another. If God can look at you and knowing that you would sin, knowing that you would fail, and knowing that you have that long history that we all do of daily sinning before him, if God can show us that forgiveness personally, certainly we can forgive one another. Certainly we can show forgiveness because of that picture of the cross. And that's, again, that's where it needs to come from for forgiveness. It needs to come with picturing ourselves at the cross. You know, how much were we forgiven? We were forgiven for all our sins. And we can't demonstrate this forgiveness. We can't demonstrate this kindness of making sure that we are right with one another. We're commanded to be able to show this forgiveness. We're commanded to be able to come alongside one another, to be kind and forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And again, that's where our focus needs to be, to know that, again, Christ, it's for Christ's sake that we forgive. It's for Christ's sake that we seek forgiveness with one another. It's for Christ's sake that we seek to make sure that we are working in harmony with one another, working in peace with one another, to be able to pursue this unity within the church. And if we don't understand what this means, to make sure that we are forgiven with one another, maybe even if it's just something small, maybe it's something of a bigger scale, but we need to show that forgiveness. We need to show to understand that we have graciously been forgiven through Jesus Christ, graciously been forgiven at the cross, and that shows us that we can forgive one another, that we do have the power, we do have the grace and the love to be able to show that forgiveness to others around us. We should never hold grudges or bitterness against other people, because in Colossians chapter 3, that brings you right back to the verses before Colossians 3:10 of other sins that we have to put to death, of other sins that we have to make sure that those are gone from our life. We have to remove those things from our life, remove that sin against that brother or sister in Christ, remove that sin that you know is in your life between someone else, to make sure you have that forgiveness and make sure that you're able to be renewed through God's word. You're able to encourage one another through the word. We have above all, in Colossians chapter 3, it says, above all, put on charity. Again, love is a key part of putting on this foundation of unity. It's the perfect bond for unity in the local church. Are there problems or differences with one another? To live in love means that we will strive to come alongside one another and lovingly will help each other come and work through these differences. We don't just say, oh, well, there's this small conflict that we have with one another and we don't really want to address it. We'll just kind of push it off to the side. No, unity and showing the love of Christ says, I'm going to come alongside you. We're going to talk through this. We're going to see how we biblically can encourage each other and point us in the way that we need to go. That's what unity looks like, of coming alongside one another and making sure that we are not just leaving those issues alone, but that we're working those issues out biblically. This love isn't a feeling that we have, but it's choosing to love one another and to seek a spirit of unity. We need to prayerfully consider what we can do to heal relationships that we have hurt out of selfishness and out of pride, and to show the love of Christ within the church. Make sure that, again, there's no barriers, there's no walls there that are hurting the unity of Christ within the church. A second main point tonight is to let the peace of God and the word of God guide our thoughts in order to be changed into the image of Christ. This word to rule comes from actually the language of sports. Paul tells us to let Christ's peace be the umpire or referee in our hearts. When we obey the will of God, we show a forgiving and a loving spirit, then we'll have the peace of God in our hearts. You know, at times we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we have peace with God, when we really don't. We really don't have that peace in our life. You think of Jonah, who he disobeyed God, and even though he turned from God, he turned from the clear command of where he was supposed to go and what he was supposed to do, and there was a few moments there where he was in the boat and he was at peace in the boat. But he went to sleep. He probably forgot and tried to put it out of his mind that he was running away from God, that he wasn't pursuing God. And Jonah was in rebellion. He thought he was at peace, and the storms of his sin showed him that he wasn't following God. He didn't have a true peace in God. We lose our ability to genuinely praise and worship God when we don't have the peace of God in our hearts. If we aren't displaying these qualities, then we're in danger of being out of the will of God and causing disunity in the church. That's what makes this so important to us, to make sure we're putting on all these things, to make sure we're obeying God, we're doing the will of God, so that we can do all we can to promote unity within the church. The Apostle Paul learned the true peace of God through times of trial and suffering. He was able to demonstrate the peace of God. That's how Paul is able to write in Philippians chapter 4, to not worry at all. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry even for a moment. but rather we're supposed to bring all of our worries, all of our cares and concerns to God in prayer. Then we will have a peace in our heart and in God that passes all understanding. And I think we've all experienced that of when we have different things we're worried about, when we have different things that are troubling us. After we really come to God and we open up to God in prayer for those things going on in our life, there's a peace that you have after you've prayed to God that just can't really be explained. Even though you know you're still going through that trial, you know you're still going through that thing that you're worried about, but God brings a peace. He brings a lasting peace in our hearts and in our lives as we go and we pray to Him. A true test of our peace as I study through God's Word and I study through, again, the life of Paul, is that we're able to praise God no matter what the circumstances are. How else do you explain that Paul, when he is with Silas, he is in prison and it's midnight and they have this idea of singing praises to God? It didn't matter to them that they were in prison. It didn't matter that they were probably wrongfully there for going and ministering. It didn't matter the circumstance that they had in their lives, but they were going to praise God no matter the circumstances, no matter what situation they were in. They saw the need to be able to sing praises to God and be able to worship Him. And I think that's the genuine test of our character and our peace with God, is even though things around us are uncertain and they're troubling to us, do we still take that time to be able to praise God and be able to have our focus on Him, to let the peace of God rule in our heart? Verse 16 says that we're supposed to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly through song and through study of the word. So we meditate on the truths in which we are reading from God's word. And through the ministry and song here, we truly have a tremendous opportunity each Sunday and Wednesday to be ministered through in song. And songs will do that to us, whereas we're singing through songs, we know that we're genuinely worshiping God. We're truly worshiping God because songs have the ability to be able to do that. They have the ability to keep our focus upward and to be able to genuinely worship God. In verse 17, we represent the name of Christ everywhere we go. What do our friends, family, and coworkers know about God because they know our life? As we are ministering faithfully and as we serve faithfully, are there others around us who they see that love for Jesus Christ? They see that God is working in our hearts, and that shows in the way that we live our lives. They can see a difference in us because they see Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to make sure that all of our ministry is done in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I want to give us some points of application tonight. The first point of application: are you letting the Word of God renew your minds? We all need this renewing of the mind. We all need this help and strength, again, to come before God's word, knowing that He'll change us, and to humbly come before God's word and saying, God, we need to be renewed again and again and again, and constantly come under the preaching of God's word and be changed and renewed from God's word. Second point of application: are you looking to the grace of God in order to faithfully serve Him and put on the attributes that Christ displayed? It's a long list of service that we see in Colossians 3 of putting on unity, of making sure that we are forgiving one another and making sure that we are doing all that we can by God's grace and through His strength to show that we are doing everything we can to bring unity to God's church. And again, it's a long list for us to be able to do, but God will help us. He'll give us the vision to be able to faithfully serve Him and make sure that our focus is set where it needs to be. Number three is the peace of God ruling in your heart. Are you seeking forgiveness with one another? And are you showing a thankful spirit for all that Christ has done? Are you allowing the peace of God to be able to rule in your heart? Are you seeking forgiveness with one another when there is difficulties or problems or issues between one another? And then here we see the need, again, to show that forgiveness because of the way in which we've been forgiven through Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, unity is possible if we humble ourselves in service, love, and forgiveness to one another. You know, Satan likes to come in. He likes to be able to cause disruption within the church. He likes to be able to make it so that we're not doing all that we can to be able to bring unity in the church. And that there's small amounts of discord. There's small amounts of uncertainty within one another to be able to make sure that he's stopping unity within the church. But we need to look again to the power of God to be able to know that God will continue to bless His church and that we would make every effort to be able to strive for unity. We need to take on God's power and God's authority to be able to put to death our sin, be able to be renewed through God's word, and be able to make sure that we'll have victory in God's strength and in his power as we seek to bring unity to one another. So God has displayed all that we need to be able to put on to put on all these characteristics and to be able to make sure that we are putting on unity within the church. Are you doing all that you can tonight to be able to build unity up in the church? That's where our prayer, that's the question I want us to ask ourselves tonight, that as you looked at all those things to be able to put on, is there something that you notice in your life where you're saying, I'm not doing that to be able to strive for unity within the church? Or I see a need or an area through Colossians chapter 3 that makes me think that I could be doing more to be able to build unity up, to be able to build one another up in the faith. God wants us all to be able to work together as believers in Christ to be able to make sure that we are all on the same mission, all able to be able to encourage and disciple one another, and also to be able to spread the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let's pray.